When you think about the Grinch, what comes to mind? Do you envision that strange green creature whose heart was two sizes too small? Or maybe you're thinking about someone who was just around your Thanksgiving table who never seems to be happy with anything. There's always something wrong. You know, we don't have to think too hard before we can add a Grinchy face to a name. But we can't be too quick to blame someone for disliking Christmas. I'm sure that there are some things, some traditions or music or fanfare that you don't particularly enjoy either. In fact, I think that each of us could find a little bit of Grinch within ourselves, especially this year. And so this weekend, we're beginning the journey to the manger and the Christ child. And our traveling companion this season is going to be the Grinch. You know, the one who stole Christmas. Thanks, Dr. Seuss. You know, he's the perfect guide for our journey towards the manger, because we can easily see our story in his story if we're honest. More to the point, we're able to see clearly what happens when we allow isolation and anxiety to fill our hearts. And so as we begin this teaching series in Advent that we've entitled The Heart That Grew Three Sizes, because that's the kind of culminating point of the story, we're going to see how a little bit of hope and connection can go a long way in changing our lives and the lives of others around us. And so as we set the stage for the rest of this season, I also want to be upfront with kind of what we're doing with worship and church and the way things are going. My hope is that you don't just hear the words of hope for the coming Christ child, but that church becomes a place of rest and connection for your weary soul. We are going to work hard at shaping worship in this season in a way that is honest about our struggles, that connects you with friends through fellowship, and that refreshes your soul in a way that rejuvenates you for whatever you have in the week ahead. Because we can pretend that this season is like some Hallmark movie where all the food is effortless to prepare and you just need three little pieces of tape to wrap any sized gift. But the fact is that the season beginning with Thanksgiving through New Year's causes many of us to finally seek out that therapist that we've been putting off for a while. Whether it's seeing difficult family members or the stress of getting the right gift or trying to survive the workload at our job or at school before Christmas break that just seems untenable, there are a ton of reasons why this season is hard. And this doesn't even consider all the feelings of unmet expectations that kind of dance at the corners of our lives about what might happen here or there, or everything's going to come falling down. And so perhaps the story about a Grinch whose heart is two sizes too small might be a great way for us to name our current circumstances as we prepare for the coming of baby Jesus. Reflecting on this story, the Grinch saw everyone getting ready for a time of hope and connection in Whoville in the name of Christmas. And yet, isolated from everyone else, the Grinch had some strong feelings that this wasn't the way that it was supposed to be. He felt lousy, and like everything was wrong. Everything was going wrong for him. Now, I'm not sure what he thought life was supposed to be or why he was so Grinchy. But regardless of the reason for why he was so bitter, anxious about the future, or just plain unhappy, he came up with this great plan to steal Christmas. If he wasn't going to be happy, no one was going to be happy, because this isn't the way things should be. Now, this might seem silly, this might seem like an overreaction, but have you seen people and the way that they react when their expectations aren't met? I've seen some Grinch behavior and even acted like a Grinch myself when I didn't get my way. In my defense, though, I'm an only child, so I feel like being a little bit of a Grinch when I don't get my way isn't fair. Never mind. However, let's turn to our scripture today. And so as we encounter our scripture, here's the prophet Isaiah, who has been called to do a powerful thing, to bind up the brokenhearted, to give hope to the poor, to proclaim release and freedom to those held captive. This is like exceptional good news. But pause for a minute, because these are God's people we're talking about, right? like the ones that are supposed to be the promised people, land of milk and honey and all that. And so why are they brokenhearted or poor or imprisoned in the first place? I'm willing to bet that none of them were hoping for their current circumstances, and yet there they were. Something didn't go according to plan. Things were falling apart around them. They had lost sight of what was going on. I bet there was a Grinch or two in that lot as well. And as the people of God, though, what Isaiah is bringing them back to is that there's no burden too big to take to God. That even in the midst of all of this, there is hope. There is promise. And this is partly because God's been here before, beginning in a manger and then ending by overcoming death. Death on a cross, a humiliating thing. God knows what it's like to be one of us. God has experienced it firsthand. God knows what it's like to have unmet expectations. God is big enough. As we think about the way that the Advent story plays out, we have to remember that first Christmas was all about unmet expectations, right? Mary and Joseph were planning on getting married, and they would have been content living a quiet life together, as their plans were. And yet, in the midst of all the planning, Mary didn't expect to get pregnant. Joseph didn't expect to have to make hard choices about their future together. And I'm willing to bet that both of them didn't expect the need to flee to a foreign land because the king was looking for their baby boy born in a food trough. A king looking for a child that has no place to lay his head. And yet, through this, God did something incredible that changed the world. Because Mary and Joseph remained open to God working through them, even when things weren't going their way, when they weren't going as planned, God was able to move in a way like never before. Friends, I know that it's easy to get bogged down with the muck and the mire of life when it doesn't go our way. I know that after these past couple of years, it seems like Christmas and other things have been taken away from us so often. That it causes trauma, that it causes heartache, and that it causes deep hurt. But in this season, as our Roman scripture says, let us cling to the good. And one of those good things is that I believe that the church is the perfect place to work out some of these feelings. I believe that the church is the perfect place for those of us who are feeling overworked and underappreciated and feeling like we can barely keep our heads above water, and then we're asked to find time to make dinner for our families, and where do we find rest? Well, I think we can find it in a community who loves you for where you are and who you are, a community that will work together to soften our collective hearts enough that God might be able to work in the midst of our callousness. That will allow God to help us grow our hearts three sizes this Christmas. I think that's the power of the church, especially in this season, that it changes the pace of our lives. And so for the next 4 weeks, like I mentioned before, we're gonna work hard throughout this season to shape worship in a way that's honest about our struggles and where we currently are. Connect you with friends and refresh your soul in a way that rejuvenates you for whatever you have in the week ahead. Now, as we hear the Grinch's story and we digest it a little bit more in the coming weeks, my hope is that you take a next step this week to intentionally carve out and make time to care for your spirit by being in worship. By attending worship and adding worship to your calendar, however you protect time, let's do it together for these next 4 weeks. Like, it seems silly to schedule self-care, but I do it each day. Every morning it says, walk the dog on my calendar at 5:30 in the morning. My morning begins with walking the dog. Even though he wasn't here for a couple of days last week, I took time to pause and even told the kids that I was going out to walk the dog. And they reminded me that he wasn't here and I pretended not to hear. That was how I chose to protect that time. And so how might you protect that time to come to worship? Because if we come into this season expecting God to help our hearts grow three sizes, first, we need to make some space in our lives for God to dwell. And so the Christmas story surprises us and disarms us if we allow it. We aren't gifted with a great warrior or a strategic political leader. God came to us in a baby. And what an amazing vulnerability. Whether we're surrounded by shouts of lament or praise over these next few weeks, my prayer is that we make some space for God, because we are those people, each and every one of us, through God's grace. We are the people whom God favors, just as Mary and Joseph, and even when things don't go as planned, God's plans can make a huge difference in our lives. Let's pray. Wonder-working God, thank you for this invitation to be reminded to slow down, to change our pace, and to find a place to rest and rejuvenate as we reflect on how we might take some lessons from the Grinch. Allow us to create some space where you might dwell within our hearts so that it can then grow three sizes in love this season. Amen.